Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. My name is Paul Segretto, CEO of Franchise Foundry, a proud sponsor of Social Geek Radio. Now, if you're really ready to geek it out, I'd like to introduce you to Social Geek Radio's hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Monson.
Well, hello, this is Deb Evans coming to you live, but tonight I'm a little further north of Houston. I'm in Conroe, Texas.
And Jack Monson of Minalto coming to you from Chicago. How are you, Deb?
I'm doing quite well, and I have to thank Paul Segretto for opening this session for us. And we are really ready to geek it out tonight, aren't we, Jack?
Yeah, we've got some pretty interesting technology and franchise data and information that we're going to lay on everybody that I've got to admit, it's an area that I really don't know much about whatsoever. So I will be learning along with the rest of everyone tonight. So, but it is Social Geek Radio. It's 8 o'clock in the East, 5 o'clock in the West. And Deb, I'm not used to doing Social Geek with the sun still shining.
I know. So I started to say the same thing. Usually, I'm looking at the window and we see the moon. It's like, do I have the right day? Am I on the right time? It just really kind of throws me off a little bit here.
Yeah, I feel like it's summertime, even though there's still snow on the ground here in Chicago. But it's warm and sunny And I think we're ready for a great show tonight.
We are. We've got a couple of shows coming up this next couple of weeks. But tonight we have Rebecca Monet. She is the chief scientist at Zoracle. And she's been in franchising for a while. I won't say how many years because, you know, we all keep that a secret. We just say experienced. But she's been doing franchise consulting. And I love the idea of this whole trying to get in people's minds. Is that what you call it, Rebecca? You get into people's minds and you profile them?
Yes, that's exactly what we do. We want to get into the minds and hearts of prospective franchisees to see, obviously, where they fit and what franchise organizations will be best at exploiting the talents of a prospective franchisee.
Cool. Now, you've been doing franchising or franchisee profiling for, I will say, 20 years or more. But I think what's most fascinating is that you've been known to say that you are anti-personality test. Isn't it the same thing?
No, it's not. I am definitely anti-personality test. And Deb and Jack, the reason is because they flat out don't work. Correlations between personality and job success is about 0.03% according to Personnel Magazine. So think about that for just a second. We're talking about 0.03% correlation between personality and job success. So with an employee, we have an opportunity to train them, mentor them, encourage them towards performance, and we even have an opportunity to fire them if necessary. But our franchisors don't have that same luxury. They don't get as many applicants as a company might that's looking for a job applicant. And once we're sort of past that first 2 or 3 weeks of training for a new franchisee, the franchisor really doesn't have a lot of input into what a franchisee does once he or she opens that door. So likely, personality equates to franchisee success less than 0.03%. Now, I don't want to be spending time and money on something, nor would I encourage my franchisors to use a personality test when the correlations to performance are so low using personality tests.
So there, Jack, you learned something new right there.
Yeah, I have to say, I didn't realize that. I've heard of people using personality tests. I didn't know that the results were that low. So when it comes to profiling then, Rebecca, tell us about the science, your role as chief scientist, and what kinds of stuff do you do then that does not involve personality testing?
So Zorkle does not use personality tests. We use what we call a meta-analysis approach. It's a holistic approach to determining franchisee compatibility and predicting performance. So we use 6 statistically validated sciences that gives us greater insight into a prospective franchisee than any single profile or any survey or any algorithm or assessment possibly can, especially when you look at what a personality test truly is and the limited amount of information that comes from a personality test. So Zorkle instead chooses to use 6 different sciences and combines and looks at those pieces collectively so we get a much better picture. So we use a values assessment, a cultural fit assessment. We want to get a really good look at the stages of growth of a franchise organization. So we measure that. We look at 8 core competencies of a franchisee. We look at their sales style. And, of course, we also look at emotional and social intelligence markers, none of which we can get from a personality test. The two biggest, of course, being the Myers-Briggs and the DISC. The Myers-Briggs basically comes from Carl Jung's work, who was a colleague of Sigmund Freud, which that mm-hmm. alone should tell you a little bit about its validity. But nonetheless, Jung believed that we didn't evolve, that humans didn't psychologically evolve or develop. He believed instead that we were individually predestined and had this innate universal psychic predisposition. So we were sort of born a particular way. So suffice it to say, the Myers-Briggs, which is built off of this Jung's work, suggests that we are born a ballerina or we are born a franchisee. And I think you guys have both been in franchising long enough to know that that's just ridiculous.
And that kind of goes against everything that most people involved with entrepreneurs would believe.
I agree. I mean, bottom line, we're influenced by our mentors, by our parents, by the franchise system we're involved with, to suggest that none of these experiences or environments affect someone's personality or their performance or their behavior is ridiculous. But again, we have to remember that the science, it's really not even a science, the theories behind personality tests go back to the 1930s and 1940s, before we really had some of the research and insight into neuroscience that we have today.
Sure, sure. And I would assume that the personality tests are probably much simpler than what you're doing as far as, you know, doing all of this in-depth analysis on these 6 different scales and that sort of thing, right?
True, Jack. Most of the personality tests are, you know, 25 questions or so. Oftentimes there'll be a question format with a forced answer of some sort. So it sort of plugs you into one of 4 possibilities. So you're not even given a lot of choice how you want to respond. These are the 4 possibilities. Or it'll be an adjective of some sort where they've decided that all these batches of adjectives equals this kind of personality. And although there's some correlation, it's too broad. It's just too broad, too generic, and it really doesn't give us a whole lot of insight. Never mind, what's really important to our Zors is, do these folks fit? Will they retain well? Will they ramp up well? Are they going to be satisfied, validate well? And most importantly, are they going to perform? A personality test mm-hmm. isn't right. capable of doing that.
Right, right. Well, now you recently worked with like 500 of the top performing franchisees in various markets, and you're working on, I believe you're working on a white paper to publish. Can you share anything that you learned from that? Can we get a sneak peek? We promise what you say here at Social Geek Radio stays with Social Geek Radio. Right, Jack?
Right. We won't tell anybody.
No.
I love it. Well, you know, it was a fascinating project for me, actually. It was a combination of efforts with Zorkle Profiles and Franchise Business Review. So when we first jumped into this, we had no idea what we were going to find out. But we wanted to take a look at what the correlations or deviations were as it related to franchisee performance, franchisee satisfaction, franchisee validation. Just overall, we wanted to take a look what those correlations were, specifically as it related to the franchise culture and the franchise stage of growth. So we did 528 top-performing franchisees volunteered some time, and they took three assessments. They took our spot-on compatibility assessment, they took the spot-on emotional and social intelligence assessment, and, of course, the Franchise Business Review Satisfaction Plus Survey. So this research crossed all verticals as it relates to markets. So we had service concepts, we had food concepts, we had retail locations, we had multi-unit operators and single-unit operators, all that a franchisor had determined were top performers that participated in this. And then we combined it. We laid on top of that data that we had for B players and C players. So we called, of course, our top performers A players. And our B players were those kind of average performers, you know, they're B, just 80%ers kind of thing. And we laid the information over on that. So we were comparing multi-unit to single unit. We were comparing service to food. We were looking at stages of growth and seeing how it evolved in terms of what the franchisees' demands were, what their core competencies were as that company evolved and changed. So lots of interesting correlations and insights. Some of the data is still coming in, so we just, you know, can give you some preliminary little tidbits here. One of which was interesting, basically showing a direct correlation between the evolution of a franchise system, going from an early stage franchise system where it's dynamic, systems aren't fully in place, you know, rules are changing, product mix is changing, all the way up to what we call a stage five franchise system that's much more plug and play and much more systematic. And we could see a direct correlation between how the competencies, and we measure eight of them, evolved and changed through each of those stages of growth. So an early stage franchisee required more broad spectrum core competencies to succeed versus a stage four company where those the core competencies weren't as needed. The focus then was more on administrative, customer service, management of people, financial skills, those kinds of things. So we saw this transition, and then at the same time we saw how the franchisee demands would increase depending on where that stage of growth was, what that franchise company was, or where his or her own strengths were, putting some pressure on the franchisor to perform and to deliver additional things, call centers, POS systems, additional marketing, additional support, et cetera. So one of the big ones for us, honestly, guys, was we noticed that our B players, these are folks that are doing okay, they're not superstars yet, but they're B players, required 140% more training and support than did our A players. So if we look at that from nothing more than a financial perspective, you know, our franchisors have trainers and in-field people supporting our franchisees. So you have a B player and needing 140% more support and training than our A players, what that might equate to in dollars and cents when we're putting more feet on the ground to support B players. These aren't poor performers. These are B players. So that was an interesting kind of insight that we noticed.
That's very interesting.
That is interesting. But it's also, and I'm just sort of theorizing here, that it's the B players that if the right amount of resources and training and support and everything else, if we invest more in those B players, that's probably the best way to really see some massive growth in a lot of systems, because the A players are already doing what the A players need to do, and the underperformers may never get there, but it is those B players that really could be the key to success.
Well, logic would tell us that's absolutely true. Obviously, Zorkel's position is pretty strong on that, in that why not attract A players to start with? Let's attract A players. And A players, Jack, are folks that are compatible, that share franchisors' culture, share the values, are perfect in that stage of growth of that franchise system, and have complementary core competencies with that franchisor. So the franchisor brings certain things to the table, and the franchisee brings certain things. We don't want any major overlap, because the last thing we want to hear is, what have you done for me lately as a franchisee to franchisor? So,
Deb, you've never heard that before from a franchise system.
Never.
That's theoretical right there. I think that's made up. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No,
go ahead. We always encourage, you know, why not know exactly who your top performers are, and then put out some effort to attract more of them. Because Jack's point is correct. We can get some movement with those B players, because typically the areas that they are missing are trainable areas. But obviously there's a lot of cost in that versus just being very careful in the original selection process.
So then I'm going to have a twofold question. Let me think about this. So it's obvious from what you're saying that, you know, any new franchise system, you know, certainly should put profiling into place so that they attract the right franchisees. But let's say you're approached by a franchise system that's not done this before. They didn't use this. They didn't do anything. They've been a system, let's say, 5 to 10 years. Would it make sense for this franchise to start profiling now with franchisees that have been in the system for a while? My guess is that it would help them with support or future additional training. Would you make that recommendation to that franchisor?
You know, it's such a good question, Deb, because, again, I've been doing this 20 years. And 20 years ago, a franchisor would come to us when they were in trouble, when there was a retention problem. There had been some litigation. They had to disenfranchise someone who was a bad fit. They were having validation problems. And all of a sudden, our franchisors are saying, well, shoot, we got this perfect system. It really is something that anybody could run. Why is it some folks aren't happy, not producing, you know, not validating, not ramping up? What's going on? And that's that human piece of it. So we would get them when they were in trouble. Now, in the last handful of years, smaller and smaller companies are coming saying, we have seen others who have suffered the financial consequences and the damage to their brand equity because they chose the wrong individuals. And so they're coming early on asking for help in that, who is our good, who's going to be a good fit, who is an ideal candidate for us. Now, obviously, it's not going to be perfect in terms of, this is an ideal fit, because we don't know when they're very small franchise companies what causes performance at all levels. But I can tell you it's going to be closer, simply because we've taken the time to look at, this is their stage of growth, Therefore, it requires this type of franchisee and these sort of competencies. And we can take a good look at that franchisor and get a better idea of the culture that they want to create and the values that they operate their business by, so they can attract franchisees that share those values. Because it's all about compatibility and complementary core competencies. That ultimately is what creates performance for us.
Very good. Now, I do know that a lot of franchises use DISC, and hopefully I'm not violating any kind of confidentiality or anything here. Can you tell us the differences between your profiling and the DISC profile?
Sure, I'd love to. So the DISC is a true personality test, and there are many DISC, like what I call knockoffs. So they're using similar theories. The theory behind DISC is emotions drive behavior due to our self-perception of being either more or less powerful than our environment. So granted, there are some truths that our emotions do drive behavior. When we're upset, when we're angry, we behave differently than when we're feeling joyful and at peace. So emotions do drive behavior, which is what the theory is behind this, especially if you're 2 years old or 3 years old, or even if you're a teenager with raging hormones. It definitely will affect our behavior. But our franchisees are adults. They're able to use their heads and manage their emotions and determine their behavior. So the DISC assessment is a personality assessment based on the Big Five theory, which basically says all personalities can be boiled down to five primary factors. So think about that for just a second. Everybody, these complex human beings that we are, can be boiled down into five personality attributes. It's just not enough information. So clearly, the idea of boiling it down to five, and DISC only boils it down to four, you know, dominance, influence, steadiness, and compliance. So let me give you a crazy example. This just happened a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I had a franchisor that called. The gentleman I spoke to is a superstar franchise development. Been many, many years, some of the top performing franchise development guys out there. And he took the Zoracle assessment. And when we reviewed the Zoracle assessment, we showed that one of his highest core competencies was sales, right? Sales. And he said to me, he said, Rebecca, this is the first assessment I have taken that tells me I can sell. When I take the DISC, I'm a low I and a low D, dominance and influence. Mm-hmm. There's an assumption that someone who has high dominance, who's competitive and aggressive, and someone who has high I, which is influence, which is about people and it's about extroversion and it's about, you know, with friendliness and all of those things, there's an assumption, but it's a false assumption, that these two attributes, dominance and influence, will make for a better salesperson. That's not true. It's not true. There are many, many more factors involved. So my franchisor said, this is unbelievable. He said, I've always been a top sales guy, and never have I gotten a test back that says that I should be doing sales or that I'm good at sales. Because the Zoracle tool is this meta-analysis. We're using several different sciences, not theories based on emotions or based on you're born with it, you know, boom, here you are. It's true science. We're able to dig in, and we can see that there are more factors involved than just being extroverted or just being dominant or just being compliant to that make up someone's ability to be successful. So that's one of the biggest difference is this meta-analysis approach. Can I give you a crazy story? Do you mind?
Yeah, let's hear it. We love crazy.
Do you remember that story about the six blind men that get to experience an elephant for the first time?
Yes, sure.
It's a great story, right? So basically, one blind guy goes to the tail of the elephant, and he begins to describe what an elephant is. He said, oh, elephants are much like ropes. And he goes on to describe this rope and carries on. And then one blind guy goes to the leg of the elephant, and he begins to describe the elephant. Well, the elephant is obviously like a log or like a tree, you know, strong and big and whatever. And then the third one got the ear, if you recall the story, and he begins to describe it. It's like, you know, a big leaf or a big fan, and he begins to describe it. And all of them were partially right, but all of them were in the wrong. And that, mm-hmm. to me, is what personality tests do. When you see only the tail, or you see only the leg, or you see only the ear, it doesn't tell us who that franchisee is in that franchise system, in that environment. It
in
doesn't
environment.
Tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly.
So your analysis also takes into consideration the system itself, and as Deb mentioned earlier, you know, how long the system has been around and how successful they are and maybe what size they are and industry and everything. So I would assume that plays into the types of analysis you're doing, and it probably doesn't play into personality testing.
Jack, you're hitting the nail on the head,
right?
Because it's an interdependent relationship. It's an interdependent mm-hmm. relationship. The franchisor isn't in a box standing still. That company is growing. It's evolving. Management is changing. Products are coming on. The economy is affecting it. Whatever that system is evolving and changing, and so is the franchisee. So we do not believe, as does the DISC, as does Myers-Briggs and some others, that people do not change. Personality tests measure those aspects of individuals that are constant through a lifetime. I'm sorry, I'm not the same person in my 50s as I was in my 40s or in my 20s. We change. So the tool basically measures where the franchisor is today, what his culture is today, what core competencies he's bringing to the table, what stage of growth he is in, what values he has, and basically what his goals and aspirations are in terms of his business model, and it measures the franchisee and where he or she is. And then it predicts how are they going to evolve and grow together. Where are the tension points? Where are some potential challenges that might come up?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, Jack is right. These are yes. two moving parts that we have to take into consideration.
Well, I'm getting a direct message from Twitter. I guess somebody's listening, and they've asked. They're very fascinated with all of this, and they're really anxious to take an assessment themselves. Do you offer this on your website, or do you have a link, or can somebody that, you know, our listener go and actually do a test, take the assessment?
So they can go. Yeah, Deb, they can go to the ZoricoProfiles.com site. There's a button that says take assessment. The assessment that you're going to be taking is called the Spot On Basic. So it will give you some insight about your values, the type of culture that you fit in best in terms of if you were a prospective franchisee. It'll tell you the stages of growth. It'll tell you what kind of sales that you're best at. It gives you a whole bunch of information about you. So that's the basic. Many of our franchisors use a more expanded profile, but this one will give some really good insight.
Great.
Excellent. Well, and that website, again, is ZoricoProfiles.com. Is that correct?
That's right, Jack.
Okay,
good.
Great. And we're running pretty close on time here. But, Rebecca, if people have additional questions for you on this whole process and your analysis, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you? Is it LinkedIn or email, or how do you prefer to chat with people in the industry?
So, obviously, we're on LinkedIn. You can get hold of me directly at rebecca@zoricle.net or call us directly at 760-207-2214.
Excellent. We'll put that information on our Facebook page as well. So if anyone needs to grab it, we'll have it there at some point soon as well. Rebecca, thanks so much. I honestly learned so much more about profiling and how the whole process even starts. I'm very impressed, and I appreciate you sharing all of this information tonight.
Yes,
my
thank
pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was great having you, and we will see you soon. And thank you again.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a great evening.